ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय उपस्थितस्वपुरुषं भगवतं जनार्दनं सर्वभूतगुहा वासं वासुदेवं जगद्गुरुम् Upatristasva, just try to worship Purusham, the Supreme Person, Bhagavantam, the personality of Godhead, Janardhanam, who can kill all the enemies, Sarvabhuta Guhavasam, living within the core of the heart of everyone, Vasudevam, Vasudeva, Krishna, who is all-pervading, and the son of Vasudeva, Jagatgurum, spiritual master and teacher of the whole world. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. My dear Aditi, engaged in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of everything and who can subdue everyone's enemy and who sits within everyone's heart, only that Supreme Person, Krishna or Vasudeva, can bestow all auspicious benedictions upon everyone, for he is the spiritual master of the whole universe. Purport. With these words, Kashyapa Muni tried to pacify his wife. Aditi made her appeal to her material husband. Of course, that is nice, but actually a material relative cannot do anything good for anyone. If anything good can be done, it's done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Therefore, Kashyapa Muni advised his wife Aditi to begin worshipping Lord Vasudeva, who is situated in everyone's heart. He is the friend of everyone, and he is known as Janardana because he can kill all enemies. There are three modes of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, and above material nature, transcendental to material nature, is another existence, which is called Sudasattva. In material world, the mode of goodness is considered the best, but because of material contamination, even the mode of goodness is sometimes overpowered by the mode of passion and ignorance. But when one transcends the competition between the modes and engages himself in devotional service, he rises above the three modes of material nature. In that transcendental position, one is situated in pure consciousness, Sattvam Vishuddham Vasudeva, Vasudeva Shaptitam. Above material nature is a position called Vasudeva, or freedom from material contamination. Only in that position can one perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. Thus a Vasudeva condition fulfills the spiritual necessity. Vasudeva Saramiti Samahatma Sudulabaha. When one realizes Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes most exalted. Paramatma Vishnu, situated in everyone's heart, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Tesha Satayuk Danam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Bodhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Upayanti Te. To those who constantly devoted and are worshipping me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Bhadidisya Arjuna Tishtati. O Arjuna, the Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Bhaktaram Yagata Prasam. Sarva Lokameshwaram Suryam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatvamam Shanti Mridchati. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifice and austerities, Supreme Lord of all planets and demigods and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attain peace from the pangs of material miseries. Whenever one is perplexed, let him take shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva Krishna, who will give the intelligence, the devotee's intelligence, to help him surpass all difficulties and return back home, back to Godhead. Kashyapa Muni advised his wife to seek the shelter of the lotus feet of Vasudeva Krishna so that all her problems would be easily solved. Thus Kashyapa Muni was an idle spiritual master. He was not so foolish that he would present himself as an exalted personality as good as God. He was actually a bona fide guru because he advised his wife to seek shelter at the lotus feet of Vasudeva. One who trains his subordinate or disciple to worship Vasudeva is truly a bona fide spiritual master. The word Jagatguru is very important in this regard. Kashyapa Muni did not falsely declare himself to be Jagatguru, although he actually was Jagatguru because he advocated the cause of Vasudeva. Actually, Vasudeva is Jagatguru. It's clearly stated here, Vasudevam Jagatguru. One who teaches the instruction of Vasudeva Bhagavad Gita is as good as Vasudeva Jagatguru. But when one does not teach his instructions and is declared himself Jagatguru simply by cheating the public, Krishna is Jagatguru, and one who teaches the instruction of Krishna as it is, on behalf of Krishna, may he accept it as a Jagatguru. One who maintains his own theory cannot be accepted. He becomes Jagatguru falsely. Omagyanti Milandas Yaganandana Shalakaya, Sakshul Umritam Yinaktas Mai Sri Guravenamaha, Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stavitamina Bhutale, Swayam Rupakadamayam, Dadati Svapanantikam. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadha, Sri Vasudeva Gaur Bhaktivinoda, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Closer. Hare Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also says that Machita Sarvadurgani Mat Prasadam Tarishyasi. It's just two lines, or one line really, of a shloka. And in these two lines, in this line is everything is said. Because Machita, Krishna says, if you direct your consciousness towards me, then sarva durgani. Durgani are the difficulties coming from material nature. Tapatraya, the trident of Durga, has three prongs, and one is adibhautik, adiyatmik, adidevika. These are the three sufferings that come to us, either through somebody else, through our own mind, or through the demigods. In fact, all accidents in this material world are based on one of these items. I'll give you an example. Say somebody drives down a road with his car. He drives perfectly safe, but all of a sudden there's a patch of ice. I was in this situation when we were on Sankirtan. We came back in the evening, and I drove down the hill, and there was a patch of ice right there, and it went around, and I went into the plank. I went down on my brakes, and I went straight into the plank on the other side. A big truck came, gigantic truck. Just before that, we were kicked over to the other side, again against the plank, and then over again to the other plank, and again a big truck came. Just before that, he gave us a spin. And so we rolled down. It was 8 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, it was pitch dark in winter. We rolled down the hill 3-4 times, and I was trying to stir because I was in control, as I thought. Up to the last moment, there was nothing to stir. And my friend, my other devotee, was screaming, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare. But I was so obsessed by trying to console the car that I could not remember Krishna, because I tried to do it myself. You know, there's nothing to do. Everything was going on completely automatic from the first moment on. And the thing is, we landed on the side of the car. This is a car, we landed like this, on the side. And I had a beautiful picture of the Panchatattva, this big. It was originally painted by Jadaran, not this big about. And it was on the dashboard. And when we fell on the side, I asked the guy at the bottom, this was Gangadhar, Gangadhar, are you okay? He said, yes, I'm okay. So we walked out, and this picture of Lord Chaitanya, the light was on, the engine was still sputtering. 5 meters ahead, Lord Chaitanya was standing like this in the snow. And I could understand that we were saved by the extraordinary mercy of Shishi Goni Thai Ki. Otherwise, it would not have been possible. So that's the first accident. It's, what is it? Adiyatmik, Adibodhik, Adidevik? It's Adidevik. All of a sudden, there were ice on the street. Now I drive again with the same car down a hill, and a thick-headed, red-necked farmer comes out of his sight with his tractor, and I bang right into it. And I wreck the car. What is that? Adibodhika. Then I drive again on the same road, and I fall asleep. and I drive into a tree. That's...
I'm not going to let you drive any of our cars.
I'm forbidden to do so in Germany, by the way. So you drive into a tree because you fall asleep. What is that? Aryatmika. So you see that all these different things, like when driving, since you are there, since he brings it up, when driving, we have to always consider there may be Aryatmika, Ariborika, and Aridevika, one of these three things. You may think I'm driving all right, and that's okay, but if any one of these three things happen, and you're too fast to stop, you're in trouble. So you can break down every accident, really, into Aryatmika, Aridevika, Ariborika. And good driving means you always keep in mind, somebody may go crazy. I remember a classical example. We were driving on the street, and on Sankirtan, and all of a sudden somebody, we had 130 kilometers an hour, and somebody sped right in front of us, and I had to go on the brakes, and this car started to spin. It was rainy, so the road was not very strong, holding, the friction, what do you call it? So anyway, this car started spinning, and ultimately we were thrown over the embankment. There was a huge tree this high, about where the lamp is, bushes more, between Moosh and Tim. We were thrown over it and rolled five times. And again we landed on the side and asked, Chakravarti Prabhu, how are you? He said, I'm fine. What about yourself? I said, I'm fine too. So we climbed out of the car, and I said, Chakravarti, do you see the people there? Everybody stopped the traffic, about 80 people standing on the road. And we grabbed our book bag, and I went up to them and said, did you see this accident? I said, yes, are you okay? I'm okay, you're not okay. Buy one of these books. I sold 40 Bhagavatams in something like 20 minutes. I had glass in my hair. The chair over him was bleeding. And he also destroyed a lot of books. The police came and said, how did you survive this accident? Well, take one of these books. Here's a solution. I sold a book to the policeman. I sold a book to the ambulance. They came. There was nothing wrong with us because Krishna protected us in this situation of Adibodhika. You see? And when we turn to Krishna, when we fix our mind on Krishna, and the best exercise to fix the mind on Krishna, the playground of doing is really the japa time. That we focus our mind on Krishna because our mind will run away. We have to pull it back. Again, we have to pull it back and try to chant. We have to try to chant very nicely every syllable from the beginning to the end. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Then the next mantra. Because this is a way how we can focus our mind on Krishna. Why should we do so? Because Krishna said, Machita Sarva Durgani, Mat Prasaram Tarishati, that all difficulties will be destroyed by my mercy, not by my doing. It doesn't mean that I should be passive. I do my best, and then Krishna will do the rest. Just like I try to do my best in chanting at times, not all the time. But I'm wondering, how is it possible, when will I come to the point that I chant without distraction? So how do you do that? Well, there are two things necessary. One is your own part. You have to make an endeavor. Your own part. And then Krishna, Haridas Thakur was saying, without the mercy of Krishna, nobody is able to overcome distractiveness when chanting Hare Krishna. So to be able to chant without distraction, which is certainly the desire of every devotee, should be the desire of every devotee, because if he has a holy name, he's all set. Nothing can bother him anymore. Neither Aryatmika, nor Aribodhi, nor Aridevik. It doesn't bother him anymore. Because Krishna will free that soul from all impediments. Machita, direct your consciousness towards me. Sarva Durgani, all the difficulties. Sarva means all. All difficulties coming from Mother Durga. Matpasaram, by my mercy, Tadishyasi. They go away. So by Krishna's grace, we can do everything. Without Krishna's grace, we can do only so much. We can do something, but we can only do so much. And so we need Krishna's mercy. Without Krishna's mercy, there is no hope. And there was a discussion, by the way, I just remember, in the Sri Sampradaya, in the 17th century, whether the mercy of Krishna, the relationship of Krishna to the soul, is like the relationship of a monkey, little monkey to the mother, or a dog, little puppy to the mother. This was the argument. Because when the puppy has to go somewhere, the dog, the mother, grabs her by the neck and just puts him, he doesn't have to do anything. He puts him here and there, wherever he wants to go. They do that. Whereas a monkey, you know, here in Vrindavan, they hang on to the mother. So they have to hang on. If they don't hang on, the mother can't help them. So they decided that actually this is our philosophy is like the attitude of a monkey, of a little monkey baby to the mother. And we hold on to Krishna, and then if we hold on like a child, baby monkey holds on to the monkey, the mother, then the monkey can jump 4 yards or something, and the kid jumps with it. So this kind of dependent, mutual interdependence, interdependent relationship is exactly like in Krishna consciousness. We have to do our part, and then Krishna will help us. We know that everything is done by Krishna in the ultimate situation, but we have some freedom. We have a choice to either go back to the spiritual world or to stay here very comfortably or uncomfortably. We have this choice. It's up to us. Krishna does not interfere with our freedom. And why is that? Because, you see, love is voluntary. You cannot ask a person, you hold a gun to his head and say, love me. You can't. You can't force it. Love is something which is free, which is available, but it can't be forced. It's something that has to be naturally coming from the heart, really. And because it is voluntary, it cannot be restricted by any kinds of rules and regulations. Therefore, Krishna gives us a freedom. You can love me or you cannot love me. And so most people in this material world, they live in complete denial, not only of Krishna, but of themselves also, because we are part of Krishna. They live in their whole life is based practically on a false foundation. Namely, on the foundation of the five physical, gross physical elements and the three subtle physical elements. The gross body or the subtle body. And due to false ego, bhumi apona loba yukamano bodhi eva cha ahankara iti yame, due to ahankara, false ego, we create the different set of fancy identities that have really nothing to do whatsoever with our real inner being. It has nothing to do with it. You know, they are just superficial. They can be changed at every moment. And latest at the time of death, everybody has to admit who is on the bodily platform that I lived in denial of my spiritual identity. I wasted my whole life is based on a false foundation. Then all ideologies, all premises I develop are based on a false foundation. It doesn't help me that I'm a Christian or that I'm a Hindu or that I'm a Muslim or a Jew. Black, white doesn't help me at that time. What does help me, the only thing which is stable, is my relationship with Krishna, developed or undeveloped. That will never change. And I can develop it, of course. And the way to develop it, the best way, like Lord Chaitanya was asked yesterday, I read, what is the most important thing to develop God consciousness? And he said, immediately, Lord Chaitanya said, to chant the holy name. Immediately he said, to chant the holy name. And if people don't feed themselves by chanting Hare Krishna and studying the literature, of Krishna consciousness and bowing down towards the deity and eating prasadam, there's nothing that we are spiritually so starved that we cannot control our senses. You see again and again, like somebody joins the priesthood and he has good intentions and he does the right thing. But then after some time, because he's spiritually underfed, he falls. And you see the abuses in churches and religious institutions are rampant. But you can always really, how do you say, condense it to one simple thing. If the person is spiritually starved, then he has no protection. I mean, you can even think in terms of environment. The environment, the situation in the environment is simply based on lust, anger, and greed. That's all. And where there is spiritual life, lust, anger, and greed will be subdued by Krishna's mercy and ultimately conquered. Because Krishna is, after all, the Rishikesh, he is the controller of the senses. But this civilization is so starved that actually people die of starvation, spiritual starvation, in the middle of plenty. Everything is around. Every comfort is around, every possibility is around, you can do so many things, but people are starving to death, and therefore they deliver to their senses. And to that degree, we turn to Krishna, to that degree we don't even see the material world. I mean, a simple example is a picture of Krishna in the back. Okay, if I turn around now, and I focus on Krishna, I don't see you. I don't see anything. I see only Krishna and Radharani. But if I turn around, and this is our situation, that we have turned our back to Krishna, that's a general situation, then we see this and we see that and all kinds of madnesses and offers of Maya, variety of offers. You would like to have this or you would like to have that. So if a person is spiritually saturated, he's in a complete different situation. And therefore, if we find ourselves to be incomplete in our Krishna consciousness, it is only due to one thing, that we are not saturated in Krishna consciousness, that we don't progress. And the way to progress is, of course, Bhajana Kriya. From there we go to Anatta Nivritti, from there we go to Nishta, from there, etc., etc., we go Ruchi and then Ashakti and then Bhava and then Prema all the way. There's a scientific way presented by the Goswamis, 9 steps by Srila Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, how a person can come from simple faith to love of God. I mean, take for example in Western religiosity, it doesn't matter whether it's Muslim, whether it's Christian, or whether it's Jewish. These are 3 religions where breaking the regulative principles doesn't mean anything. You know, you can, I'll give you an example. Take sex, for example. If you're married, you can have sex as much as you like. Well, that's not the philosophy, our philosophy. You can have as much sex as you like. And because people don't, curb down their sexual appetite, therefore, there's anti-baby pill and there's abortion, and ultimately all these things fit together. Lust and religion fits together in Western religiosity. There's no effort made. Take gambling. It is not un-Catholic to gamble. Nobody will tell you it's bad to gamble. So everybody plays lotto. All the Catholics and all the Christians and Muslims are playing lottery. This is gambling. There's not a word said in that religion that that's bad. Take meat eating. Wow. You know, a religion where you can eat everything that just crawls, right? That is Western religiosity. There's no prohibition whatsoever in the teachings of the church that meat eating is devastating. I give you an example. I tried to explain to my mother. I explained to her. I said, Mata, you have to give up eating meat. She said, why? I said, it is absolutely dangerous spiritually. It's devastating. You know, God has given everybody a life, and you know the cruelty in the slaughterhouses. And by the way, you, Jesus, said, what you have done unto the least of my brothers, you have done unto me. I said, how can you eat meat? So she gave meat. She gave it up. Then she met the priest. And the priest said, vegetarianism is demonic. He said, you have to eat meat. This is food for demons. And so she started again eating meat. I mean, he completely misled her. He completely misled her. And from the top down to the bottom, meat eating is, there's no issue in Christianity or in Muslim religions. Not, they have certain restrictions here and there. You can't eat this animal or that animal, but altogether there's no restriction. In sex, in gambling, in meat eating, and what else is there? Huh? What?
Intoxication.
Well, the priest is drinking wine on the altar. You know, what do you expect the people to do? You know, I remember in our parish, on Good Friday, after Good Friday, as a Good Saturday, on Friday one is not supposed to drink because Jesus was crucified. So, this goes up to noon on Saturday. Sunday is Easter. So our chaplain, our priest, he would meet with everybody in the bar on Saturday at 5 minutes before 11. And then he would lift the glass and said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then by 10, everybody drank. And everybody said, he's a good pastor. He's a good man. You can talk to him. So all the four principles you can break very comfortably. That's why these religions are so plenty. You can break, you can do anything you want, practically speaking. You cannot lie, you cannot cheat, that's true. But you can break the regular principles without interfering with the philosophy of Islam or Christianity or Jewish religion. How can you advance like this unless there's anatta nivritti? How you can advance toward Ruchi or Bhava or whatsoever, you can't. You get stuck right there. And even as far as association is concerned, think about it. Devotees have association. We have a community of devotion. We have temples everywhere. We sit together and we eat. Prasada, very important. And we have places like Govardhan and Radhakunda and Shyamakunda, and we have Vrindavan, and we have Mayapur, and we have the Ganga, and we have the Yamuna, and we have Bhagavatam, and we have Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we have Bhagavatamrita, and we have so many scriptures, and we have Srila Prabhupada, and we have a whole line of disciplic succession. So many people in our back protecting us and furthering us in Krishna consciousness. And you have Krishna, the Supreme Personality, and you have Lord Chaitanya. Unless somebody accepts Lord Chaitanya, he cannot advance in this age because he distributes the Yuga Dharma. Kali Kalera Dharma Harinam Sankirtan. He distributes the Yuga Dharma. We have Lord Chaitanya, we have Lord Nityananda. Prabhupada says, if you have a problem at the installation of these deities, he said, if you have a problem, just go to Lord Nityananda and explain to him, I have this and this problem, and he will help us. He will help you. Why should we ask Radha Krishna, Radha Govinda, Radha Sham for that? People are gathering always there. They're engaged in their Leela. They're engaged in their Leela. We can approach Radharani, but Radharani is manifested in Lord Chaitanya. Namo Bhavadanyaya Krishna Prem Padayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Nam Nigura Chivisnamaha. When even more merciful than Lord Chaitanya is Lord Nityananda. So we have a huge surrounding and whole environment and Krishna conscious environment by which we can eat this bread of life, practically speaking, by hearing and by chanting Shinvatas Vakata Krishna Punyasha Ridyantas Vardani Vidhunuris Ritsatam. We become free. Rits, the heart becomes free from all lust, anger and greed. We have a whole process. And this process, I mean, people are so in Western religiosity that they don't talk about love of God really. They talk about the sins must be forgiven. But even if all the sins are forgiven, that doesn't mean we are having achieved love of God. It's just the middle of that. It's anatta nivritti. It starts. It starts. That's where the work begins. You see, so what hope is there in any type of religiosity but where people are not led in a systematic way to come to love of God as we are led by Srila Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu verse Ado Shraddha Tato Sadhu Sangha, etc. Systematically we are led. Even in Bhagavatam is explained, what is this verse in Bhagavatam? Nashta Parayeshu Abhadreshu Nitya Bhagavata Seva Bhagavati. This whole line of verses ultimately, how all lust and how all unfortunate things disappear from the heart when we engage ourselves in hearing Bhagavatam. In fact, there is a book written in a long time ago. It's Brahma Vivarta Purana. And it describes the situation in Kali Yuga. Mother Ganga, is asking Krishna, my dear Krishna, what will happen now you're leaving the planet? What will happen to me? Hare Krishna, be quiet, please. Shanti. Thank you. So, excuse me. So, he said, don't worry. He said, my devotees will come and they will change the whole history of the world. And he gives, basically speaking, three items in the Brahmavarta Purana. The first item, he says, first there will be kirtan everywhere. And people will, those who have intelligence, it's also mentioned there, my intelligent devotees, will have kirtan everywhere. The next item that is described as being a means to salvation is Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam says this Bhagavatam will ignite a revolution in the hearts of men. It says there so many ways, Bhagavatam. And the last item, the third item is? Anybody has an idea? Prasadam. He said, my devotees will introduce offering prasadam everywhere. And so these things are maintaining us, the hearing, the chanting, and the prasadam. These things are maintaining. We are feeding our soul by a huge variety of activities. We can offer flowers, we can bow down, we have the deities here, we can speak to Lord Gauranga, to Krishna Balaram, and even if you just say, hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu, Dina Bandhu, Jagatpati, Gopisha Gopika, Kanta Radha, Kanta Namostate, Lord Chaitanya, it is stated by Srila Prabhupada that Krishna becomes so indebted to one who chants his name, who calls out for help, like Drupadi, called out for help for Krishna, and he became the unlimited sari. How is it possible an unlimited sari? By Krishna's grace is possible. Everything is possible by Krishna's grace. So the only safety, security, we have the only safety belt in this world is not money, it's not a house over the head, it's not this or that. The only security that we have is our own endeavor for Krishna consciousness. If we endeavor for Krishna consciousness, we can never be cheated. It's not possible because Krishna will protect us from all difficulties of material life if we fix our mind on him. So that's Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful movement that we have this opportunity. We can go to Vrindavan, we can go to Mayapur, or we have our local temple where we can worship, and we can bring up our people, our children in this light. And bringing up children is a very blessed activity if it is done in Krishna consciousness. It is for the sake of educating souls. It's like a bhakta program, basically speaking. And if we have this facility that we can marry, have a wife, children, and we raise these children in Krishna consciousness, that's a wonderful devotional service. And if it's not Krishna conscious, then there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, I forgot my iPad, unfortunately, otherwise I could read it, that said, unless one is a devotee, the senses and the mind are like thieves, is described. The senses and the mind, they steal our time away. How much time we wasted already, even in Krishna consciousness, how much time we wasted. Why? Because the mind is a thief. And the senses are thieves. They steal our valuable, precious opportunity of Krishna consciousness away. The mind is like a thief. The house is like a prison in material life. The griha is like a prison. And the attachment to the children is like foot shackles that binds you to the material world. But then Prabhupada says in the purport, but the same activities implied in Krishna, there is cause of salvation. He said the children, the citizens of Vrindavan, they're very attached to their children, but they raise them because they understand this is Krishna's path, this is a son of Krishna, a daughter of Krishna, and I have to help her to come to Krishna consciousness. It becomes part of their devotional service. Even grinding flour to feed the family is part of the devotional service. Anything, taking a shower for Krishna, growing food, whatever people do in Krishna consciousness is part of Krishna conscious service, ultimately leads to our liberation. So therefore the verse says, until somebody becomes a devotee of the Lord, the mind and the senses indeed are thieves, the house is like a prison, and attachment to the children is like foot shackles. But if one is Krishna conscious, when one comes to Krishna conscious, all these things are helpful. It's helpful to have wife, children, and the rest. It's helpful to have some facility in the material world to do something. Like, for example, if somebody has a capability to manage, well, he should manage. We have this wonderful manager here, Panchagoda Swami, who is managing this place very nicely. It's his natural propensity to manage. So he's getting a facility by Krishna. And so you can use every gift you have, whether it's gardening or whether you like to do deity worship or you like to do, you have to find out what can I do for Krishna? What is, according to my guna and karma, something I can actually do to fit in what ashram or to do whatever activity? It's very simple. I mean, Krishna says, Vanash, what is this? Chatuvanama system, guna, karma, vibhagasaha. Guna and karma is everything. Guna is the mode of nature. Say somebody, give an example. Somebody is a carpenter, and if he's in ignorance, tamoguna, you give him the instruction or the order to order a chair, you pick it up, we're supposed to pick up on Thursday next week, you arrive, the chair is not ready. Why? Because he was smoking ganja or he was drinking. The mode of ignorance. You go to the next carpenter for the chair. And when you come next week, he has 10 chairs. He said, I made 10 for you. Buy them all. I give you a special price. So he's in the mode of passion, right? You go to the next carpenter. He's in the mode of goodness. He said, can you make me a chair? He said, yes, it will take me 2 weeks. He said, why 2 weeks? He said, well, you know, I have my sadhana. In the morning, I have to worship my Shila and so on. And I have only so much time and they have so many work I have to do. But if you come in 2 weeks, it's ready, guaranteed. You go there, it's ready, guaranteed. So that's a carpenter. Then you a carpenter in Shudashatva. Who is that? Any example? No, Jesus. He was a carpenter. He was learning how to make plows from his father. So he was a carpenter in the mode of goodness, Shudashatva, transcendental goodness. So this is as far as guna is concerned. And then karma is according to your nature. You know, if you like to do things with your hand, or you like to do things with your head, or you have to see what is there that you're into. Somebody is into cooking, somebody is into organizing, somebody is into growing food for Krishna, or milking cows for Krishna, whatever. All these natural propensities, guna and karma, that as far as karma is concerned, what can you do? And if you don't know what you can do, you should ask somebody. You should ask somebody. If you can't figure it out yourself, you have to go to somebody who knows to give them advice. And generally, if you tell somebody the story, your life story, he can understand very quickly what you could do and what you should not do. And what would be good for you in your spiritual life according to your status of standing in Krishna conscious movement, to what degree you have advanced in Krishna consciousness. So all this is based on Krishna's mercy. And I got a little carried away from the verse. Let me read the verse again. Engage yourself in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of everything and can subdue everyone's enemies, and who sits in everyone's heart. Only that Supreme Person, Krishna Vasudeva, can bestow all auspicious benedictions upon everyone, for he is the spiritual master of the universe. This is a wonderful verse. It is explaining, basically speaking, what I did say is an explanation of it. We have to turn to Krishna. Without turning to Krishna, there is no hope. And as it says in Bhagavad Gita, by following the principles of freedom, a person can achieve the complete mercy of God. And that's what we need. We need that mercy. We have to make some endeavor, but Krishna does his part. Yeah, tamam padanti tamstata bhajami aham. Like, would you come, please? You? I want to give a little, I need your help. I show you how that works. In a very simple, come up on this side. So we have to endeavor in Krishna consciousness. This is the soul. We have to endeavor. Enthusiasm, endeavor, and patience. And chant Hare Krishna, etc. Now this is God. You have to stand up. This is God for a moment. God is here, God is there. And so, if it, normally, when we die, we leave Bhumi Apunaluva, you come. We leave earth, water, air, and ether behind. And we take Mano Sarira, the mind body, Buddha Sarira, intelligence, and Ahankara with us into the next birth. So we leave that behind, the Stula Sarira. We take the Linga Sarira with us. Even when we, at night we dream, the soul is traveling in the Linga Sarira, Prabhupada said that we go places. So when we come to, when we die, we leave our gross body behind and we take our subtle body with us. When we come to Krishna consciousness, when we die in Krishna consciousness, not only, so when we come to Krishna consciousness, Krishna consciousness, not only we leave the Stula Sarira behind, we leave the Linga Sarira behind, and the soul goes, God catches it. We do our thing, we have to do our best, like Satyananda Swami is saying, Krishna is doing the rest. Once more, this is Krishna for a moment. He catches us. And, no, please don't. That's my first. And even if the even if we don't do it right, it flies here, God will catch it. Because what is this verse? Grahi, Baba Grahi Janarna. Baba Grahi.
Huh?
God can go away. Even if imperfectly presented Krishna consciousness, even if you are not perfect, Graha, what was it? Bhavi Janarna. Krishna makes it perfect. Krishna makes it perfect. So, we are in very good, the best association. We are extremely fortunate that we can sit in this place, in Vrindavan, one of the two highest places in the universe, really, Vrindavan and Mayapur. We can hear the Bhagavatam class and we escaped the madness of material existence. Now we have to just keep on going on this path without deviating, and so gradually, gradually, we all will get there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much. Do we have a question? We have a couple of minutes. Yes. Do we have a microphone? It's true, everything depends on Krishna, but we have to do our work. There's an example that Satsuru Maharaj, he was a temple president in Boston, and they were running out of money. So he bought, with all the money they had, every single penny, they bought large amounts of flowers, and they decorated the altar beautifully, and they sent Srila Prabhupada a picture. And they said, Srila Prabhupada, now we are completely depending on Krishna. We have given everything. And Prabhupada understood that they spent every penny for this decoration, but they didn't have money to eat, practically speaking, because they were waiting for Krishna to act. And Prabhupada said, it's a very good instruction, he said, to depend on Krishna is very nice, but we also have to do our thing. We have to make a plan, and then Krishna will help us. So it's not that Krishna is doing everything, just like in the situation with this monkey. We have to hold on to Krishna. We have to do our endeavor. Soll das Werk den Meister loben, doch der Segen kommt von oben. There's a famous poem in Germany by Schiller, famous poet in 17th century. And he wrote, he described a situation that people are trying to pour a bell. You know, a big bell is being poured. Like we have a bell there. It is poured. There it is. It is poured. You see? And so the headman, the guru of the master of the bell casters, he was saying, very interesting. Let's wait till she's finished. Okay. He was saying, the way how you have to work is like this. Von der Stirne heiß rinnen muss der Schweiß. From your forehead, sweat has to pour because you work so hard. Rinnen muss der Schweiß. Soll das Werk den Meister loben? Then the bell should praise if the Lord, the bell is able to praise God. But der Segen kommt von oben. The blessings come from above. In other words, even if you work very hard, there may be a bubble in the bell or a crack. There's nothing you can do about it. You can throw the thing away. So we have to do our best, and then God does the rest. Von der Stirne heiß, rinnen muss der Schweiß, soll das Werk den Meister loben, doch, but the blessings come from above. That it become, because ultimately, every Krishna is the ultimate doer. Krishna is the ultimate doer. We have to do our bit. It's not that we just lie in bed and say, oh, Krishna, save me. You know, please come and send your rain of mercy, please. You know, that doesn't help. So the idea to depend on Krishna is very nice, but we have to do our work. We have to work as if it depends on us. We have to work as if it depends on us, but we understand that everything is Krishna's mercy. This is actually how do you figure this out in your own brain? You work as if it depends completely on yourself. So you work like a dog. And then you understand that every moment, actually, whatever happens here, whatever comes to me, it's all Krishna's blessing. Hare Krishna. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at Prabhupada, you know, Prabhupada was just one man, and he worked extremely hard. Everybody who was with him, Shruta will confirm this, you can hardly keep up with Prabhupada, you know. So he did his best, he worked like anything, more than any one of us is able to work. Even Shakespeare has not printed as many books as Prabhupada did, you know, and not only that, writing, going 14 times around the planet, initiating 4,000 disciples, translating about 100 books, giving 3,000 lectures. I mean, hardly any sleep. He was working like anything. And then Krishna gave him everything. I mean, what we're sitting in, this is a manifestation of Prabhupada's labor, this house. What to speak of all the other temples. And Krishna showered him with blessings. He sent him so many disciples. And there Prabhupada always said, my Guru Maharaj sent me all these disciples. And so we are here by Prabhupada's mercy. I was standing in Mayapur in the Conch building the other year, and I saw in the morning a huge chain of people, local people, trying to get into the temple. All the way, I mean, hundreds of meters. They come from large distances. Why is that? Because Prabhupada was such a huge person that he created so much piety in the lives of people. He created so much piety. There's a huge tapasya, like Lord Brahma, he created the universe based on tapasya. And even Bali, he was the king of the demons, he could conquer the heavenly planets, and the demigods were driven out. And they asked their guru, what can you do? He said, you can do nothing. Because he has worshipped his guru. He depends on his guru, as far as that is concerned. Therefore, he's unbeatable. It's a classic legacy of Prabhupada. I mean, what he did was actually Bhaktisiddhanta's plan. He carried out, he tried to satisfy his guru. He said that many times. I have no personal qualifications, I only try to satisfy my guru. My guru told me, if I get any books, I should print books. Print as many books as possible, as many languages. Prabhupada told us this. So this is a single most ingredient, is to satisfy the spiritual master. The single most ingredient. That makes everything go. And if that's not understood, nothing is done. Nothing can be achieved without Krishna's mercy, represented by the mercy of the spiritual master. That's why we sing, Yasya Prasara Bhagavat Prasara, Yasya Prasara Nagati Kutupi. Ayam Struvam Sasya, Yasya Sandhyam. That by the mercy of the spiritual master, the blind man can cross, layman can cross over mountains. A dumb man can become a speaker, good speaker. And even a blind man can see the stars in the sky. Everything is Krishna's mercy coming down from Srila Prabhupada. So, I thank you very much for listening very nicely. I wish you all the best in your Krishna consciousness. Let's chant Hare Krishna for a moment. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Once more, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Louder. Louder. Rama, Rama, Hare. Louder. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Hare Rama. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Gonitai ki jai. Go Premananda, Hare.